There are two approaches a producer can take on locking in prices. And we try to do a combination of both forward cash purchases. You can go to your local feed company and they'll sell you corn or meal, you know, 6 months in advance, and you can lock in that price, or you can buy a futures contract. And for example, we've been long March corn futures since last, August or September. And, you know, so it offsets your price risk. That's the easiest way of doing it. You also have basis levels that need to be locked in. But, you know, all of your major feed manufacturers offer a wide range of contracts that both poultry and pork producers can use to lock in either corn and most often soybean meal.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast. I'm Adam Fahrenholz, coming from North Carolina State University in the Animal Food Manufacturing Program. Thanks for joining us. On behalf of Wisenetics, I'm excited to introduce our guest today. This will be a fun conversation, a little different than some of the things we've done in the past. We're going to talk some about markets and prices. My guest today is Richard Brock. Richard is the chairman of Brock Companies. Thanks, Richard, for joining us.
Adam, thanks for having me.
If you wouldn't mind, introduce yourself to the audience, a little bit about your background and what it is you do with the industry.
So we've been in business for 48 years. We've been around a while, and our primary business is managing grain risk management, grain sales, corn, soybeans, cotton and wheat for producers, and purchasing programs for livestock operations. We do a lot of poultry and pork companies where we buy their corn and soybean meal and do the futures hedging. Myself, I'm an Indiana farmer. That's where I grew up, just south of Lafayette, Indiana, Purdue guy, and then went on to Cornell for graduate school. I was always going to go home and farm, but I never made it back, and which, you know, there's always a fork in the road. And anyway, Forest Mars put us in business. I ended up moving to Milwaukee to work for a competing then agriculture consulting and publishing company. And then Forest Mars, founder and owner Mars, M&M's, Uncle Ben's Rice, Cowcan Dog Food, then rated the wealthiest person family in the United States. How fast things changed. This was in the late 70s. And he liked me and hired me to be his personal consultant. And that's how we got going. I worked for the old man Mars for about 5 years, started the company. And today we manage grain sales on about 700,000 acres in 23 or 4 states. Our main headquarters is in Milwaukee. But I spend 7 months of the year in Miramar Beach, Florida, more commonly known as the Redneck Riviera.
There you go.
And it's between Panama City and Pensacola and North Shore. We're down here primarily because the Mississippi Delta is a pretty big business for us. And those folks all have vacation homes and condos here.
Yeah.
And so we opened an office here back in 2011. And so I go back and forth. I do 40 to 50 speeches a year, and trying to phase out of it. Brock Associates publishes the Brock Report also, which is a 20-page weekly newsletter on the grain and livestock market. And then we have an introducing brokerage company called Brock Investor Services, which is why it's called the Brock Companies. It's those two companies. And So I'm trying to retire. My son is gradually going to take the business over, but I'm not much for retiring. I got to have something to do, so I'm still working pretty aggressively. But mostly it's grain and livestock that we're involved in. And like I said, we started the company in 1980, and so it's been a fun time.
Excellent. Well, this being the Feed Science Podcast, you know, we kind of working our way down the idea of, you know, food animal production. Everybody says, okay, 70-75% of the cost that goes into food animal production is the feed. And when we think about the cost of the feed, the vast majority of that cost is going to be the ingredients. And when we think about the ingredients, the vast majority in most of our livestock feeds around the country is going to come from that cereal grain source, soybean meal. And we've covered about, you know, 70, 80, maybe 90% of diets in that case. So what happens in the markets, it has a huge impact on the cost that we have and operations and where else we're able to spend our money. It's been a while since we've had scary high prices on grains. There were some, you know, some times in the last decade, two decades where things got really, really tight. And recently, more or less, and I'm no expert in this area, but it seems like the trends have been that the prices have been declining. So do we expect that to continue? And what are the pressures that impact that, whether it does or does not?
Well, what we've seen, let's first look at the corn market. You know, we go back to just 2022. We were seeing corn prices above $8 a bushel. Mm-hmm. It was a scary time. Livestock producers were it was a struggle. You can't make money feeding $8 corn. And then by the time we hit July and August of last year, cash prices in the Midwest were down under $4, hit $3.60 in central Illinois. And so it was a disaster then for the farmer. And this is not uncommon. I mean, high prices lead to very low prices. And then what happens is companies who are buying corn, as prices are going down, they put off their purchasing decisions because it's getting cheaper, which makes demand look weaker than it actually is.
Sure.
And it kind of feeds on itself. Now we've reversed that since last August, and the marking year for corn begins on September 1. We've seen the cash market of corn through both increase in futures price and an increase in the basis has risen over $1 a bushel, about $1.20. We're at the highest price right now in corn we've seen in since probably 10 months. And you're looking at corn prices right now, May futures trading over $5 a bushel. If you'd asked the average person or buyer 6 months ago if they'd ever see $5 corn again, they would have said no, it was not going to happen. But, you know, the laws of economics have not been repealed. And you get the price of anything too low, too long, and someone's going to start buying more of it. So what we're seeing now, we think, and the USDA, I believe they're really low on their estimated average price of corn. Their average price estimate right now in their last crop report was $4.25. And we're up at $4.80 now, okay, in the cash market, $4.70 to $4.80. And so you look at that, and if the USDA was right, then this market's very overpriced. But we don't think so, but because the market is still reacting to the lower prices. Demand is going up. And a lot of people are concerned about this spring's planted acreage. I mean, last year, U.S. farmers planted 90.6 million acres of corn. The year before that, it was 94.6. So it was a big drop. But this year, we're going to make all that back. We think we're going to plant probably 95 million acres of corn or more. And it's you know, going to add to the supplies. But the real game changer here was the January crop report, or I've never seen this in my life, but the USDA came in and cut last year's, this past fall's corn yields dramatically. I mean, like 3 bushels an acre.
Whoa.
And so all of a sudden, you know, in corn, we always look at the stocks to usage ratio. And corn's the only commodity you can do this in, but we always tell our clients, if we can estimate the stocks to usage ratio in corn, we should be able to estimate the average price of corn at the farm within 30 cents a bushel every year. And it's been that way my entire life. It doesn't work in soybeans, doesn't work in wheat, but it does work in corn. And because we're the primary producer worldwide. Well, we look at that and, you know, we come up with an average price of like $4.80 to $4.90. So that's about where we're trading right now, maybe a little bit under that. But we don't believe this is factored in the demand. And we also, you take a look at the futures market, open interest, the number of contracts outstanding has been going up dramatically in the last month and a half. in a rising market that normally is associated with buyers accumulating long positions. And I'm just thinking out of the box here right now. And we have Trump in office now, and exports have been very poor to China. And I think one of the bargaining tools here is going to be he's going to try to force China to be buying more corn and meal from us rather than from Brazil. Brazil's pretty much taken over the markets. So I think there's some surprises coming in this market. I mean, we have been very bullish corn, and even at this price level, I'm still bullish. I don't want to stand in front of a freight train. It became so oversold and so cheap. It's like a prime interest rate being at 2.5%. You know, and now we're back to fairly normal. Young people like you think these are high interest rates. Right. These are not high. These are not That's high right. interest rates. Yep. 18% is a high interest rate. This is pretty normal. Our interest rates are like $5 corn, in my opinion, right now. And so we're just getting back to normal in this market. And I think any surprise in the corn market is going to be on the bullish side, not on the bearish side. So we've been aggressive buyers since August. For our livestock operations, and we're heavily bought through the first half of this year, and I think it's the place to be. And Brazil keeps ramping up production. They have more acres still that they can bring into production. That's the advantage they have over us. The Brazilian real is at a 23-year low right now, which makes their commodities a lot cheaper than ours. And so, I think now a lot depends on what kind of a deals this new administration is going to negotiate with countries, primarily China, on buying more of our products. And the reality is, and people can have different political opinions, we always do, but China needs us more than we need them. We need each other. We're talking about this trade war right now between Mexico and Canada. We all need one another. And I think, the reality is that this is the way Trump negotiates, making threats, most of which are not going to happen. And then he gets the deal done. And so, we need those countries to buy our products. We buy, 60% of our agricultural chemicals come from China.
Right.
The American farmer can't get by without China.
Right.
And they need us. And so I think good things are going to come out of this. And I think it's going to be favorable. Now, if you're a livestock producer, you may not like that trend, but, you can plan for it. And I still think this is a market that on the corn side, pork and poultry companies need to continue to be buying this market.
So let's talk about that a little bit for those in the audience that this isn't the part of the world they deal with in a lot. Can you explain briefly? And I know it's a complicated process overall, but when you say plan for it, and when you talk about things like hedging and understanding what the futures prices are and the cash prices are, basis playing in the difference there. How does that work in a basic, a 10,000 foot type of view? When you say, okay, they need to be involved in the market, you're talking about they need to be planning, they need to be hedging because of what's going to happen. How does that work, since that's a lot of what you guys do?
Well, there are two approaches a producer can take on locking in prices. And we try to do a combination of both forward cash purchases. You can go to your local feed company and they'll sell you corn or meal, 6 months in advance, and you can lock in that price, or you can buy a futures contract. And for example, we've been long March corn futures since last, August or September. And, so it offsets your price risk. That's the easiest way of doing it. You also have basis levels that need to be locked in. But, all of your major feed manufacturers offer a wide range of contracts that both poultry and pork producers can use to lock in either corn and most often soybean meal. And so, you just don't want to wait and have to buy it when you need it. You need to plan ahead. And in a market like this, you know, if you would start buying corn and soybean meal last August, I mean, you're way ahead of the game now because the market has come up so much. In the cash market, we've seen the basis improve. And this is another key indicator. The basis in the Midwest has improved, dramatically in the last 4 months. Improved mean it's gone up, the difference between the cash and the futures. The other thing that has happened, Adam, is if you watch the spreads in the futures market, for example, March corn has risen dramatically more than new crop December corn, which tells you that someone wants the corn. You know, when you get in a bull spread market, and that starts to work, you know, you want to run for cover because it doesn't make any difference who it is or why they want it, but somebody wants it. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very bullish indicator, and that hasn't fallen apart yet. It may anytime, who knows, but right now it still says the corn market to us is not finished going up, and we're still looking for higher prices. So that's a key indicator in any market. Now, you take switch gears here. You take a look at the soybean meal market. It's been the laggard in this whole complex. The move up in the soy complex has been led by soybean oil, led by primarily strong demand for oil for renewable diesel, primarily California. And everyone has been anticipating an increase in processing plants, and I think only one has been built. And so, you know, that's fizzling out. And with Trump's energy policies, we don't think renewable diesel is going to make it. It's going to fizzle out here. And so we've been crushing a lot of soybeans with the soybean oil, in return, creating a large supply of soybean meal. And it's been a real drag on the market. But the reality is, when we look at a market like that, we're not at all confident soybean meal is going to go up a lot, mm-hmm. but we are confident that it's done going down. And okay. So we recommend buying, not because we think a market's going up, but because we think it's done going down. We recommended buying corn last August, not because we realized it was going to be this high by now. I mean, this market's gone up a lot, but it was just done going down. So you buy it when your risk is small of it going down. And so, you know, you look at the soybean meal market. I mean, we still want to be buying soybean meal. And again, not because we think it's going up a lot, but because we think it's done going down. And we're looking at a reasonably good crop, again, coming out of South America. And but we're also going to see, I think, a dramatic decrease in planted acreage in soybeans this spring in the United States. So, you know, most of the signs there are on the positive side, not the bullish side. And again, fundamentals worldwide are with huge supplies, record carryover supplies in the world in soybeans. But we also have record demand. And so we take a look at the stocks to usage ratio. And speaking of which, if you go back to corn, the stocks to usage ratio worldwide in corn right now is the lowest it's been in 13 years. I mean, you got to kind of look at what's going on in the rest of the world. So, and that's not a thing that we've seen many people talking about. So, you know, it's you know, for a company that manages risk for agriculture, we always take a look at what's our risk of being wrong, and what's our potential of being right. And so, you know, after such a huge bear market in the last 2 years, culminating last fall, you just want to be an aggressive buyer. And if you wait for the reason that it should be bought, then it's too late. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. And I think it's going to be volatile, but again, I think the bias should be the upside. We have not yet put the corn and soybean crop in the ground, so there's a lot of weather risk yet. And like I said, carryover has dropped tremendously just as a result of the January crop report. January crop report was a game changer. I mean, we were looking at a stocks to usage ratio then of about 15% in corn. Now we're looking at one under 10%. I mean, that is a world of difference in a corn market. And so, you know, I still think in any kind of weakness here, pork and poultry producers need to be buying corn.
Last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here then is you mentioned volatility there. And you mentioned earlier in our discussion about, you know, the laws of economics do not change. They are what they are. So how does your business change when you see changes in administration? We see differences in the dependence on foreign countries by us or by other people that we were selling to. Is it always a long game, or when these things change, like, does your business change significantly in January 2025 when, okay, we're going to approach things a little differently with the new administration? Does that happen every 4 to 8 years?
Well, that's not the key factor. What's happening in all of agriculture right now is enormous consolidation. Mm-hmm. You take a look at the consolidation in the pork industry in the last 10 years and the poultry industry as well, and also farmers in general. We're seeing huge acceleration of farmers, older generation, people in my age group saying, okay, it's time to retire. It's time to return, turn everything over to our kids. And a lot of the kids haven't come home to farm. Mm-hmm. And so it hurts us because we take a look at our universe of clients and potential clients. It's declined dramatically in the last 10 years. And fortunately, we've been in the business for a long time. So, you know, we can survive this. We've lost a lot of competitors in the last 5 years. I mean, many. And we're going to lose more because the universe is just not there. And so overall, then, that kind of plays out well for us because we've lost both potential clients, but we've also lost even more competitors. Mm-hmm. And so it does change. But, you know, the other thing that's changed in agriculture is the younger generation, you know, people in their, let me just say, anybody under 50 has never gone through really difficult times in the grain industry until now. Mm-hmm. You know, the last really difficult time was 1986 and 87. And we saw a lot of bankruptcies in agriculture. But since then, that younger generation, it's been pretty much a gravy train for them. They've been able to make money or lose very little in bad times. But if a farmer didn't do a good job of marketing since 2022, this has been a difficult 2 years. And gotcha. You take a look at what it's done to the farm equipment business. You know, John Deere shut down several lines. They've done a good job. I mean, during this, I mean, like a month ago, John Deere's stock went to an all-time new high. You know, even though they're not selling much. And that'll come back. You know, the farmers are still going to need equipment. But, you know, it's just it's a different environment right now. The other thing that has changed, and this is a good example of companies doing podcasts, since COVID hit, the cost of doing in-person meetings and conventions, it's just gone through the roof.
Right.
Absolutely through the roof. We're having one ourselves for our clients here in Miramar Beach, Florida, as I joke, the Redneck Riviera, and in 2 weeks. And we have farmers coming in and feed companies and bankers coming in from 23 states. But I take a look at what it costs us to do this meeting versus 6 years ago. It's off the charts. It just has gotten so expensive. Hotel room rates have gone up. Food costs have skyrocketed. And, you know, I just did a series of meetings up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 2 weeks ago over in northwestern Ohio and northeastern Indiana. And, you know, they were sponsored by crop insurance companies and banks. We don't see much of that anymore because of the cost of putting everything together, which is too bad because I think in person is important. It's like people coming to the office, you know, rather than working remotely. It's not the same. And so we're seeing a lot of that. But we do a lot of meetings just like we're doing here right now. where we'll do Zoom meetings with our big poultry and pork companies. They'll bring in their team, and we'll do a 45-minute to an hour meeting to cover their purchasing strategies. So,
okay,
you know, the travel business has gotten much more difficult. I don't like doing it anymore, but, you know, it's a necessary evil.
Right.
And, but it's, you know, as we've made this transition from my generation to your generation, we think differently, you know, and I don't think agriculture has changed as much as non-agriculture has changed, because we all have to work. I mean, farmers have to get out, livestock producers have to get out. The work's got to be done. But nevertheless, the way we collect information is really changing. The other thing is, I mean, every company right now, ours included, we have to have our own app. I mean, the younger generation wants everything on an app. You know, even 5 years ago, that didn't exist. And so we take a look at the changes in technology, and it's accelerating. You know, with AI now, that's going to change things. And so, you know, we think, well, how much more quickly can things change? Well, probably a lot more quickly, and we have to adjust to that. So it's an exciting time as we go through all of this, but it's a very different time, and we all need to adjust.
Yeah, and I think all those comments are you know, really well taken, in that idea of, you know, there's a lot of pressures, there's a lot of things going on. There's politics, there's trade, but there's all the other stuff, you know, that is more of a much longer game, in generational changes and consolidation and those things that you mentioned that, you know, don't make the news quite like we do. And they're not in the forefront of our consciousness as much as some of the other stuff that gets a little more blasted into us. And those things we have to pay attention to as well. And I think that's a great lesson.
Yeah, Adam, you're exactly right. And the other thing that we see, and this is true for all family businesses, not just for farms, you know, when times are good, it's all about the money. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, we've seen so many breakups in different family businesses in the last 10 years, and it's all about the money, and which is unfortunate, but it's true in all family businesses. And I think a lot of families are going through some of these changes right now, because this is a big generational change taking place.
Yeah.
And I mean, it creates both opportunities and hardships. But, you know, we always tell people, you know, when everything is very profitable, people think that's great. But that's always followed by unprofitable times. Your opportunities are in times like right now, when things are weak. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people recognize that, but there are a lot of opportunities out there right now. We're going to see a lot of expansions in both livestock industry and the grain industry over the next 12 months. So in that way, it's a fun time.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, I've really enjoyed our conversation. I appreciate you taking the time. My guest today has been Richard Brock. He is the chairman of Brock Companies. Thanks a lot for the conversation.
All right, Adam, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Once again, I'm Adam Farinholz from North Carolina State University. On behalf of Wisenetics, this has been the Feed Science Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.